As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." This is the word of the Lord. Well, we've seen two men today asking questions of Jesus, and I wonder what your questions are for Jesus. Now, when I was about four, the biggest question I had that my brain could wrap around was, where is God? I keep hearing about this God who, you know, he lives somewhere and he can see me all the time, he can see what I'm doing and he looks after me, but where is he? Now, at four, I decided that God must be on the clouds, because clearly, from the clouds, you've got a really good viewpoint of the world. So I decided that that must be the answer to my question. Then I went in a plane when I was five and we went above the clouds, shattered that notion, and I sort of went, okay, so God's clearly not on the clouds. And I didn't really have an answer. But as I got older, I kept sort of trying to work out where is God? But the thing is, I think God loves it when we ask questions of him. And today we've seen two men coming to Jesus to ask their questions. And they're really encouraging stories, because often in the book of Mark, there's quite a few stories where people come to Jesus with questions and they try and trick him. And it's not great. But Jesus can see right through that. But we see today that our two men come and they're really genuine in their questions that they're asking. And so Jesus is really genuine in responding to them. So we're going to find out a little bit more about these two men. And I've got a few helpers. Sarah and James are going to come and help me. And I need to grab my other stand. Hang on. Okay, so we've got our two men here. Now, as you can tell, I'm not a great artist. They're a little bit disproportionate, but that's okay. You can use your imaginations. Now, I've given these two men a name each. Their names are Mr. Law and Mr. Rich. Okay, so Mr. Law and Mr. Rich are the two men from our Bible reading today. Now, the first one, Mr. Law, he was a teacher of the law. We heard about him first. We'll stick that label on there. And Mr. Rich, he was a rich young man, and he came to ask Jesus some questions. And we saw that in our second Bible reading. So now there's some things about these men that are very similar in their background and some things that are quite different. So we're going to find out. But I forgot to say, if you're a little person and you'd like to see a bit better, you can come and sit down the front if you like. If you'd like to come and sit a bit closer, you can. So the first thing that's the same about these men is that they're both really respected in society. We're going to give them the same label. They were people that everybody looked up to. They were people that if they said something, people would listen to them and probably believe what they said. And partly that was because Mr. Law, he had a really good job in the temple. It's a bit like a minister in a church. People would have listened to him. And Mr. Rich, well, he was rich, so people listened to rich people. Now, the next thing that's similar about these two men is that they both knew the Old Testament well. Okay, so Mr. Rich tells us in our Bible reading that all the commandments that Jesus listed, he'd been keeping those since he was a little boy. So he obviously knew the Bible, and in those days they would have only had the Old Testament, not the New Testament. And Mr. Law, his job was to teach people about the Bible, so he would have known it pretty well. The next bit that's the same is that they both like to know and follow the rules. So they knew the rules of the Old Testament, they knew the laws of the day, and they liked to follow them because they were good, upstanding citizens. So, and the final thing that we find that is the same about these two men is that they knew that Jesus was wise. So they both had questions to ask Jesus, and they didn't try and seek the answers in the world or from just random places around. They went to Jesus with their questions because they knew that Jesus would answer them wisely and helpfully. So those are our things that are the same. But we've got some things that are different about our men, and I'm going to need some help with these ones. So they're going to come up on the screen as well, if you can't read my big posters here. So the first one is that one of our men wants to know how to live the best way according to God. And the other one, he wants to do good things so he can get into heaven. So we've got one who wants to live the best way according to God, and one who wants to do things so that he can get into heaven. So I wonder if you can help me. Have I got them around the right way? Is this the one for Mr. Law and this the one for Mr. Rich, or do they need to swap around? What do you reckon, kids? They need to swap? Do you guys all agree? Kids are much louder than you. There we go, we can swap. There we go. Okay, I'm glad the kids are on the ball. The next thing we've got is that we've got one of them knew that loving God was more important than following the rules, and the other thought that following the rules was the most important thing. So he knew that loving God was more important. Rachel, what do you think? Are they the right way around? No? Does anyone think that they're the right way around at the moment? And does anyone think that they're the wrong way around at the moment? Oh, we've got a division amongst the camp here. We're actually going to swap them around because although the teacher of the law, he loved following the rules, we find out in his answer he says that it is more important, although offerings and sacrifices are important, it's more important to love God. So even though he was a Jewish teacher of the law, he'd actually worked out that love and love of God was more important. So we're going to put that one on Mr. Law, and we're going to put that one on Mr. Rich. We find that in his question, he says, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" He's a bit worried about what he can do rather than what God wants. Now, the next one that we've got is we've got one that says seeking the truth from Jesus, and the other says this man can't accept salvation as a free gift. So one of them's trying to do good things to get into heaven, and one of them is just trying to find the truth. Matthew, what do you think? Are they the right way around? They are the right way around. You're right. Good job, Matthew. So we find that Mr. Rich, he's trying to buy his way into heaven because he's used to buying a lot of things, and he's used to sort of being able to use his money to do the right thing. And it's not that he wants to do the wrong thing, but he isn't able to say, "God, I'm going to let it go." And we see that a little bit further on in our reading where he says that he went away sad when Jesus said, "You have to give everything away." Now, those are our things that are a bit different about them. But let's have a little think about how Jesus responds to them, because I think that's a really important thing in our story as well. And the first thing is the same, actually. And even though these two men are really different, we see that Jesus answers both of them truthfully and helpfully. So we might stick those on. So we find that Jesus doesn't ignore either of them. Even though they're both in really different spots in life, they both have different understandings of God, we see that Jesus takes the time to answer both of them. And we see that all through the Gospels. I find that really exciting that regardless of who you are, Jesus will love to answer your questions. Now, in today's story, we've got two very important men who would have been used to being listened to. But throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus listens to children. He spends time with the poor, the sick, and women, all who would have been less important in the society of the time. And they would have been ignored by the rich, important people. But Jesus shows that he cares about every single person. And that's great news for us today, because no matter who we are, we can come to Jesus with our questions. Now, the second thing we see is that Jesus responds to them just a little bit differently as well. And the first one we see with Mr. Rich is that Jesus loved him. I think that's so special. Even though he doesn't really get it yet, he hasn't really understood, Jesus still loves him and is wanting him to know him. He loves him. That's a great news for us. And the second one is that Jesus commends this man. He encourages him. He says, "You're not far from the kingdom." What a compliment for this man to have Jesus say to him, "Well done, good answer." I'd love it if Jesus said that to me. That's so exciting for him. So what a great way to encourage people to be seeking their questions and their answers from Jesus, not from the rest of the world. And we've seen in our drama and our dance today that sometimes the world gets pretty distracting. Our rich young man, he got distracted by money. He thought money was the thing that he could rely on to get him into heaven, to be a good, upstanding citizen. But we see in our teacher of the law, Mr. Law, that the most important thing, it doesn't matter who you are, the most important thing is our heart and our loving of God, not what we can do to earn our salvation. And I think the really important thing that we see from these stories is that Jesus wants all of us to come to him with our questions. And we might find today that our questions might be answered in the Bible. You might have your question answered by the wisdom of a Christian friend or from the world around you. You might find that Jesus answers your question in a dream or a prophecy. And if you've been at our morning or evening services, you'll have been hearing about prophecy. And I think next week we're going to hear a bit more about prophecy and what that looks like. But the important thing is that Jesus will always answer our questions. He might not answer the way you like the rich young man. Jesus said, "Go sell everything you had." And the rich young man was pretty sad about that because he didn't want to do that. So we might not get the answer we want. Or you might be like Mr. Law, who's encouraged in the answer that Jesus gives you. So the take home, the point is that we can all get our questions answered if we come to Jesus and not try and find the answers in the world. So what do we do with our questions now, though? We can ask Jesus, but there's things that we can also be doing to help us find answers to that. And that might be coming to church. It might be doing something like Christianity Explored. Or if you're a primary school student, you might come to Going Bananas. I sprung that one on you. Sorry. By the way, these flyers are available to take in the foyer today. It's my little plug. You can ask your questions to the people around you. You might ask your questions to me or to Mike or your growth group leader or your Sunday school leader. You can always ask your questions, because it's better than trying to work it out yourself sometimes, is get someone to help you. So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to spend a bit of time thinking about what our big questions are. So I told you when I was 4, my big question is, where is God? Now, since then, I've come up with a lot of other big questions that sometimes are a bit too hard for me to understand. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time. So at the end of each row, there's a little tub with some sticky notes and some pencils. And kids, you might want to go back to where you were sitting now, because you can sit with Mum and Dad and they might be able to help you. And I want you to take a little moment, and you can have a chat to the people around you to think about, what's your big question for God? You might have many. I've got many big questions for God. But what I'd like you to do is to write them down on your little sticky note. And we're going to put them towards the end of the service. We're going to bring them up to the cross, which is on the back of the auditorium at the moment. You can see it's made of white paper. And when we sing our final two songs, or just at the end of the service, we're going to come and put our questions on the cross to symbolise that we can always bring our questions to Jesus. So take a moment, have a chat. You can make as much noise as you like, and I'll come back in just a tick and we'll talk about our questions. You can keep working on your questions. I don't know about you, but I just stopped and went, which question? There's so many. I'm going to show you. Mine says, how does the Trinity work? Befuddles me every time. But come back in a couple of weeks. I think Peter and Jordan and Mike are doing a sermon series on the Trinity. So hopefully this will answer all my questions about how the Trinity works. There's some great questions out there. And what we're going to do now is we're actually going to spend a little bit of time singing. And while we're doing that, if you'd like to go and put your questions on the cross, you can. Now, you can do it now, or just, we've got two more songs to go and then our service will be finishing. So at that point, as you're leaving church, you can put them up as well. So if you don't want to go anywhere while you're singing, that's fine. But kids, if you want to go, you can stand up and put your questions on the cross. And I would encourage you to stand there and have a read of some of them. I'm always amazed at what other people come up with as a question.